And I'm Val Asparti.
You're listening to Training Age, the podcast where we explore what fitness, health, and training looks like at different stages of your fitness journey. I'm super excited about this topic today. A while back, I talked a little bit in my stories about when you should push or when you should pull back in your training. And Val was like, hey, let's talk about this in an episode of Training Age. And so I've been thinking a lot about this. And when it comes to training, even with the most fantastic program and the best of intentions, life happens, right? Things go awry. We have illness, injuries, fatigue. And then we're left to answer the question, do I push forward or do I need to pull back? This seems to be a simple enough question, but I think Val, you can attest to this as well. Sometimes we've found with ourselves or with clients that they have a hard time answering this question and they struggle to kind of validate their choice in that or determine which direction to take. So the hope for this episode is to offer you a little guidance to help you make that decision. So to best help you answer this question, I think it's important to understand what we're up against. So let's talk about stress. I was actually thinking, let's talk about stress, baby. That song was in my head. So Val, let's talk about stress, baby.
Yeah, stress. So we tend to look at stress as a bad thing, but we actually need a certain level of stress in our life. And the best analogy I heard from about stress was years ago from one of my coaches, Alan Crest. And I've since heard this analogy before, but like a stress bucket. Hmm. You've got your little stress bucket, and we've got things like, you know, our relationships, work, school, different things like that, finances. We need a little bit of stress. We need that kind of resistance in our daily lives. And sometimes those things get a little bit out of hand. I mean, you still take exercise. Like, exercise is stress, right? And when we start to see things like overflowing in our little metaphorical stress bucket is where we need to look at the situation, take a, you know, 20,000 foot view or whatever and be like, okay, what do I need to do to reduce the amount of stress in my life so that it's not overflowing?
I love that analogy. I think that makes a lot of sense because I think a lot of people will, I think we talk a lot about stress more than probably we ever have, right? I think social media talks a lot about stress and managing stress. And sometimes we get in our head, stress is bad, right? Yes. But I think that analogy with the stress bucket is a good one because we should take on stress, right? With training, with life, there's all sorts of stressors we want to take on. Our family is inherently stressful. Money can be stressful, but we want money. We want our family, you know, we want to have a strong body. So these are all good things to take on that are inherently stressful, but there's only so much of it, right? That is good before it becomes bad, right?
Exactly. Yes. And so, like, I'm just going to give you a real life example. Right now, I've kind of been hitting on this in my stories, but I'm going through this kind of like extended family crisis. And this is not something that's a normal stress for me. And it really is affecting me. And I'm doing my best to work through it. I am going to therapy. I'd like all of you guys to know that therapy is a really great thing to do when you need help managing stress and working through extra stressful times. But it is something that's out of the norm. So as I'm looking at things on a weekly basis right now, I am taking that into consideration because it is causing a lot of excess stress in my life and worry and concern. And so that is something that's out of the norm.
Right. Do you feel like your bucket is overflowing a bit?
Yes. Yes, I do. So it was like last weekend, I did nothing. It was so wonderful. I usually want to, you know, get caught up on work or prep for the week ahead with work, things like that. But it was just one of those moments where I just needed to relax. I just laid on my bed and mindlessly scrolled. You know what? I didn't even care. No guilt scrolling through social media. So giving myself
sometimes
a little bit of,
it's like they call it they sometimes refer to that as the death scroll, but sometimes there's a good scroll. Sometimes it's the therapeutic scroll. You just need to turn off the brain for a little while and go to another place.
So. Yeah. And even yesterday, you and I, we were talking about like watching silly shows, because you were saying your husband tends to watch kind of like drama type of shows. That's Ryan too. Ryan's the same way. And so sometimes I'm just like, I need to watch like Modern Family or some silly sitcom, or like, you know, Great British Bake Off or whatever, something where I just don't have to think and it just lets
me turn it off for a little while. Yeah. Yeah. I think I told you I might reboot Planet Earth.
Yeah, that's right.
Just watch Planet Earth, you know, or I always know what you're up to when you're scrolling, because our training age feed is like all desserts, which I find hilarious. So I'm like, Val's been scrolling desserts again. The algorithm knows.
My guilty pleasure. Yeah. Watching desserts in slow-mo.
Yeah. Well, so I think that's interesting about the bucket overflowing and you recognizing like, okay, we need to do something about this. And there's lots of different ways to manage that, which we'll get to. But I wanted to touch on the subject of trainability, right? And so that's kind of where that bucket analogy comes in, because we need certain types of stress, as we touched on, in appropriate doses to create a stimulus, right? Whether that be in like our training or in other areas of our life. But in this context, we'll talk about it in terms of training. So we need a certain amount of stress to get the stimulus. So we have these adaptations that can occur in our body. So maybe more strength, more muscle, body recomposition. And that can be a good thing. But trainability is the idea of like what we can actually recover from and adapt from that stress. We want like a certain amount of stress before it becomes negative. So we want to hit that sweet spot. And that's kind of that space between like maybe the waterline in the bucket and the top of the bucket. And you can't see my hands, but there is a space, right? So picture a bucket and you fill it up maybe 3/4 of the way. And that, you know, trainability area is that space between the waterline and the top of the bucket. But what happens is sometimes, and we want like basically a positive net outcome to come from this. So that's what we can recover from. And part of improving trainability is learning when to push and when to pull back, knowing and recognizing when that waterline maybe is too low or when it gets way too high. Like it's, imagine like when a little kid, like with the sloshy bucket walking around and it's spilling over, right? We don't want to get to that point. So that is, we want to stay in that sweet spot when it comes to our training. And that's how progress is made. Sometimes I really like the phrase, like your training is only as good as your recovery. I actually saw a really great post yesterday kind of about that, when they were talking about, you think all of these changes are happening when you're training, but it's actually happening in that recovery period. And I think a lot of people get in there and they work really hard and they like, you know, well, I feel like there's two camps. There's the people that work so, so hard and they're always putting in like 110%. And there's those that maybe are scared to get the water even like halfway. Like they are very conservative with their bucket, right? Like their tolerance for stress is very, very low. And so we'll kind of get into some of that. But first, let's just talk about maybe, let's go to the camp of people that are the balls to the wall, 110%. In fact, I did a little, I'm kind of jumping ahead a little, but I did a little survey in our Instagram page.
And I have to hop in real quick. You guys, way our amazing training age followers, way to like show up and provide feedback for us. We were blown away with the amount of responses. I was just like, what? So thank you.
I mean, we actually have a very, very modest little following on Training Age, but man, you're a little army of like very dedicated followers. And we so appreciate that, because Val and I were talking about that. I thought, okay, Val's like, hey, you should put some questions in the stories. And I thought to myself, I don't know how much feedback we're going to get, but like, I'll try, you know, let's do it. And so many people responded and it was really helpful. And so you helped us create this episode today, because you guys know what's going on and have lots of great thoughts and feelings about it. So one of the questions I asked was, because I wanted to get a sense of what do people normally do? How do people normally approach their training? And I asked that, like, are you like, I kind of gave some ranges. Are you like an RPE 9 to 10, fierce and focused, you know, or like 7 to 8, you know, like I show up, I do what I can, I'm consistent, and then kind of went down the line. Most of you responded as 65% said they were a 9 out of 10 RPE. Like they showed up, they were ready to work, they're ready to play. 30% said doing what I can. And then there was just a few very honest people that were like, you know, I do it, I get there. And so I think for the most part, there's a big population of people that when they get in there to train, they really do work hard. And in my experience, women do know how to work hard in general. Like I think people in general, but women are gritty and they get in there and they work hard. But sometimes more is not more.
Yes.
Right, Val? So what are some signs maybe that we have not left enough room for recovery? Maybe some signs of overtraining or under-recovering?
So in the gym with training, if you start to notice a decline in strength, now there is going to be periods of time where you will have declines in strength, like over the course of a training program or a meso, what have you. But if it's a consistent trend of declining strength, then you know that something's up, that you're doing too much. And another big one is sleep. If you're starting not to sleep very good, or perhaps you're having like really high energy before you go to bed. So things associated with the sleep and getting that disrupted. And sleep, why is that so important? Because we need sleep in order to recover. And so if we're under recovering, unfortunately, it's kind of this like downward spiral that like it makes it so sleep is even worse when we really need, you know, we need that. What are some other things that you can think of,
Heather? Oh, I see a lot of people maybe with prolonged soreness, you know, or they get injured very easily, right?
Yes.
Even a higher resting heart rate is a sign of under recovery. But I think the sleep one is, or being maybe overly emotional or irritable, you know, you're just kind of, I mean, that can happen for a lot of reasons, but some under recovery, definitely. Fatigue is a big one. Like if it's just, you're always just chronically tired. There's a difference between like an acute stressor and a chronic stressor.
Amen.
Right? So mm-hmm. that training can be like an acute stressor. Like at the moment, it can be hard. It can be stressful. But if it's just this chronic situation where you're not recovering, that's a chronic stressor.
It's funny, these symptoms that we're talking about, it kind of just sounds like premenstrual symptoms. So I like that you said that it's like acute versus chronic. So if this is something that's like chronically happening versus like, oh, it's my cycle, you know, cycle week or whatever, like then.
Yesterday I was feeling very irritable and I was very tired. And I looked at my little app that I used to track my period and I was like, oh, on the dot, 10 days out, like clockwork. And so that is, you know, just a little side note, be sure you're tracking your cycle if you're a woman to make sure that, okay, is this just, I mean, it's okay to still validate that, but is this more of an acute thing or a chronic thing?
Yes. Yeah. Going back to like energy and with training and stuff, because that can happen as you hit that luteal phase, your energy can take a hit for a little bit. And that's one of those moments where you do make that assessment of like, okay, is this, you know, cycle related things, or is this a sign of overtraining? And then, mm-hmm. you know, you go from there.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing that happens a lot, and my husband actually called me out for this recently, was that I've been really busy with work. We have a lot of things going on with our family, like all really good things, all stressors that I have brought on and been happy about. But you know, starts to make me a little tired and I'm working longer hours. And then I'm like, oh, well, I need to wake up earlier to get my training in or to get extra work in. And he says, you're responding to the stress with more stress. He said,
Eric is so wise.
He is a wise man. He's also so our audio editor. So, you know, shout out to Eric. I don't know.
If Thank you, Eric. Clear.
Thank you, Eric. But he basically described a stress cycle, right? And I think that's what happens a lot with us is we're like, oh, I'm stressed out. I've got all this stuff going on. I'm fatigued. And immediately respond to that with more stress. You know, the option isn't to pull back. It's to add more stress to address the stress. And then when do you get off of that little Ferris wheel of stress, right? I mean, it starts to then disrupt even more areas. So maybe like you had fatigue and then it starts disrupting your digestion and it starts disrupting your sleep. And, you know, it's something that you have to kind of say, okay, like I'm in this little stress cycle. The answer sometimes isn't to push more, it's to pull back. And so that leads me to the question I asked our amazing listeners. So thank you again. I said, how do you decide when you need a rest day? And we got lots of responses on this. And I thought you guys were very, very smart. And it kind of follows some of the things that Val and I were just talking about. Someone said, if my body is extremely sore, if I'm sick, when my body feels under recovered. So addressing kind of that illness or soreness. Someone else said, which I thought was smart, I have them scheduled into my week. So I think that is really smart. I mean, personally, I know Val, you do it too. We have scheduled rest days, right? Mm-hmm. We know we can't grind 24/7 or even maybe like, you know, for me personally, I do 4 days a week of strength training. I'm walking usually every day. And on my off days, I sometimes will do a run. But if I'm not feeling well rested, maybe I'll pull back on the run. So there's just ways that you can kind of manage that stress. Someone said by how tired I am. Someone else said, I assess my level of fatigue and ask my body what it needs, not my mind, which I thought was interesting. I think it's good to trust your body, but I also thought you do need to, there is like a level of mental fatigue I think we have to consider sometimes.
Yeah.
Someone else said, when I have no mental space left, more than physically drained, I'm mentally drained too. And what do you think about that, Val, about like the mental drain? Is that something we need to consider when we're trying to manage our recovery?
Yeah, because again, coming back to my current situation, it's not like a physical stress that's happening. It's very much a mental stress with my extended family. And it absolutely has an effect on, you know, my sleep. It creates a little bit more fatigue throughout the day because of this excess mental stress that's happening. And so for people, like if you are going through starting a new job or, you know, prepping for a big family event, like perhaps you are getting married or something like that, like even though that's super wonderful and super exciting, it is meant like it can take a toll on you mentally. And so that's something to be aware of and manage accordingly as you notice any sort of, you know, issues starting to arise, like some excess stress. Like, and usually with that type of stuff, you find you get a little bit more snippety with people, a little bit more short tempered.
Well, and I know you do this too, Val, but I will ask, if I have a client that's ready to do a fat loss phase, I will ask them, like, let's consider a time, like we'll kind of plan out different mesocycles. And let's think of a time where maybe your outside stressors may be a little bit lower, you know, like, and no time in your life is completely stress-free. Like that's just an impossibility to plan a time in your life that is completely stress-free, but we'll be intentional about it. Like, oh, in this 3-month period of time, I don't have any travel, you know, maybe like work commitments are a little bit lower. So let's increase the stress during this time so we can because the other stressors look like they're going to be managed pretty well. And so we can't do everything all at once all the time. I think that's unrealistic. And so just understanding how to manage that. someone else said, and I thought this was interesting. I want your opinion on this, Val, because I do not own an Oura ring. I know you do, right?
Yes,
I never have. So you can tell me what you think of this. She said, This is how she determines whether or not she needs a rest day. Aura ring, sleep, and stress levels. And someone else said, my aura ring gives me feedback on if I got a good night's sleep or if I'm going to get sick. And that's how she determines her rest. Is the aura ring feedback, is that reliable feedback? And I'm asking this 100% honestly. I don't have one. So I don't rely on its data.
I know like there's whoops and aura rings in different ways. I think even if you wear your Apple Watch to sleep, like it can track that type of stuff as well, you know, track your sleep and your body temperature and things. And while I like data, I am a data fanatic. I wear my Aura ring to bed every single night, have been doing that since 2019. I don't use that as the end all be all for whether or not I should train or take an extra rest day. I do like the feedback, but there are times where it will say, oh, your heart rate lowered late last night. Seems like you might want to have a rest day or take an extra rest day. And I'm like, I'm fine. Thank you. But I trust myself enough to make good judgments that I know when I can continue moving forward, but I will use that feedback. Now, I mean, you look at that, but then also if you feel like you're getting sick, you'll feel like you're getting sick. You don't need any sort of aura ring or whatever to tell you that you're getting sick. It kind of is the confirmation essentially that you are sick. So it's like you feel sick and then your body temp is up on the aura ring. You're like, yep, confirmed. I am definitely sick. But yeah, it's nice to have, but sometimes too much data can be just that. It can be too much. So learning to trust yourself over time and being aware of how, you know, the ebbs and flows of life will give you better data over just what some piece of technology provides. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I do think it is really good. And this is the whole purpose of this episode, is to provide you with the information to see the signs of maybe some under recovery or overtraining, and then to be able to trust yourself to make some of those choices and not have to always have a coach or your Aura ring or your Apple Watch tell you what to do. We want to be autonomous in our choices and get used to doing the thing that you know intuitively is best for you. I think we know intuitively when we have a little bit more to give, maybe when we're sandbagging it, so to speak, or when we need to like, okay, like that we need to not keep feeding that stress cycle. Like it might be time for a day off. And this is, I liked this reply. This is from Iris, which I'll call her out because I know she won't mind, but Iris of Iris Deadlifts. She said, I ask if what I'm about to do is going to leave me dead or fill my cup emotionally and physically. And it goes back to that bucket analogy. Just like we're trying to find a way to fill the cup without it going to overflowing. This last response I really liked because it was just so honest. Definitely difficult for me to identify since that is not my natural inclination to pull back. And I do think that that's a common problem.
Yes. And another person was very honest. And like I appreciate everyone's answers, but especially those where they realize that this is something that is a struggle. And this other woman, she said, it's really bad. I've slowly been figuring that out. Like the migraine, definitely no go. So she's like, okay, if I get a migraine, I'm not going. But other than that, come hell or high water, I'm going. I'm pushing forward. So yeah.
Yeah. And I do think with some people, and I think we probably know this about ourselves intuitively, like maybe we're somebody that tends to never want to take a rest day, like always is pushing harder, even when it's detrimental to us. And then maybe we know about ourselves that we're the type that just kind of wants to bail a little quicker. And whatever side of that you're on, the growth is in pushing against that tension, whatever direction it is. Right? Maybe the growth for you, I have clients that their growth for them is taking a rest day, is kind of pulling back a little bit. And then the growth for someone else could be like, I probably need to show up more. I need to be a little more consistent. I need to try a little bit harder. And I think if we're being really honest with ourselves, we know what side of the fence we're on with that.
One of the easiest ways to learn to take a rest day. So if you, because again, most people want to, like, their tendency is to push forward. But the easiest way to help you with that is to program them in. Like, you just straight up program a couple days, or, you know, put it, pencil it in on your calendar, or actually don't pencil it in, pen it in. So you can't delete it or erase it, but it's like, these are the days I am resting. I am not training. Now, one common misconception with a rest day for people is like, you have to become a potato and lay on the couch and do nothing. And that's not what a rest day means. Like, you can still move, and but you're just not trying to elevate your heart rate and pushing yourself. Some people use this term active rest or active recovery, and I'm not a super fan of that. Like, what do you think, Heather? Like, how do you feel about that term? Because I don't really like it.
I mean, you can tell me why you don't like it. I don't like hate it, but I don't know. It feels like it's a conflict of ideas. Like, I don't know. What, you tell me why you don't like it.
Yeah, because it's like, are you taking a rest day or are you going to be active? So when you're taking an active rest day, it feels like an oxymoron. Like, what are you doing today? And I do think people, by using that term, not like, some people, they use it just because that's what they hear other people saying, but then other people are probably conflicting on how to do a rest day. Like, how do I do this? And it's just giving your body that chance to take a break. So still get steps in. You can still walk outside. You can still do those things. Doing some meditation, like, and this is a good opportunity too, if you still like to move, is to find some other type of hobby that you can do on those days. So maybe you go and like take up yoga or do some stretching type of thing, you know, and then learning what level of rest is appropriate for you, because that's going to be different for everybody.
Yeah. Maybe rest can be defined as a break. I mean, we do this with programming too, a break from a different type of stimulus, right? So, yes. I mean, I think when people use the term active rest, they are trying to distinguish, like, I'm not laying around like a potato on this day, which I don't actually think is a good idea on your rest days, unless you are truly, truly sick, like really under recovered, like you really just need to not do anything. But for the most part, on a rest day, you can still be active, and you should still be active, right? That actually can help with soreness and, you know, mental health. There's like so many benefits to still being active. But for me personally, like, I strength train 4 days a week. And then on my off days, I change up the stimulus. And sometimes I will just walk. Sometimes I will get in a run, nothing too, like, I'm not a hero about it, but I'll do like a few miles just at a nice, like, low intensity pace. And it just feels really nice. And it fills my cup, you know, it adds to instead of takes away. So I think that's what people mean by it. But and then on Sundays, to be honest, I probably do a little more full potato than I need to. I'll go on a walk, you know, but it is kind of nice to know you have a day where you just can just not worry so much about it. Just relax, deload, you know, and those scheduled rest days, however you want to use them. And I think that's where you become a little more intuitive. Like, they can be really rejuvenating, and that's what they're meant for. So see that rest day as a rejuvenation, and how best can you rejuvenate yourself on those days, you know, versus it being one more day of the grind.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. So one of the other questions, like getting to the other side of things. So we talked about when to pull back, but when should you push? And sometimes we do need to push a little bit more. And as based on the poll from our listeners, you guys seem to definitely be good at pushing forward. And we asked the listeners, how do you decide when you need to push yourself? And we got some really great responses. One of the common themes I saw was people talked about maybe checking in with themselves mentally. so sorry, checking in with themselves mentally when I'm just procrastinating. You know, I think we kind of know when we're kicking the bucket, like trying to put it off. I don't want to do it. What were some of your favorites, Val?
Well, Iris, I like Heather. Do you want to read?
Do you want to say it and I'll bleep? You know, we both Val and I are good Christian mommies and are sometimes our moms listen to this. But Iris had one of our favorite responses that I did a full on cackle at. I asked myself if I'm being a little bee.
being a little jerk
or turd or whatever, and if I'm truly burnt out and how long I've been intensely and intentionally pushing forward. So I think it kind of goes back to like, am I just kind of wimping out here, you know?
Exactly.
Like, and I think we know when we are, when we're kind of, we talk about it as being sandbagging or just bailing, you know. I think sometimes we hop out at some people, and I do it myself and lots of areas of my life, when it starts to get hard, you want to be done. You know, it's like, oh, I want to be out of here. So sometimes that happens with life. When the stressors pile on, we're trying to figure out a way to manage that. And sometimes the answer isn't to pull back. It's to actually, you need to push forward a little bit and create a little bit more, sometimes a little more mental resilience around it. Someone else says, I know if I'm getting a good night's sleep or downtime later in the week, she'll push forward. So that goes back to that, the power of like having those rest days, taking care of yourself. You know, it's like, yeah, I can push forward because I've already planned these rest days. I know I'm going to be able to take a little bit of a break.
I also liked this one that said, if I'm not wanting to do it versus not feeling well. So again, it goes back to that, like just that motivation and kind of trickling to the idea of being intentional. So are we going with intent? Do we have a goal in mind? And that will help us to be more motivated to push forward mm-hmm. and try a little harder rather than just going through the motions
right.
of things.
Oh, someone else asked, I asked my body if it has more to give. Usually the answer is yes, if I'm asking the question. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was interesting, you know, but I think that is asking sort of that deep question, like, do I have more? And I don't know if 100% it's that way, but sometimes it is. I think we have a lot more capacity than we give ourselves credit for. You know, I've been really surprised at the things that I've been able to do, not just in training, but outside of training that I never would have imagined that I could have done.
Yes.
And I think women are really good at working hard, but also really good at selling themselves short. And I think we're a lot stronger than we think we are. One of the other responses that I really loved was she said, I usually push myself by default now. I have a history of giving myself too much grace. And I think that kind of goes back is like learning how to push into the hard a little bit more. I did recently have a question from one of my group members, and she's like a brand new mom. And I can tell she's being pretty, like, she really wants to get back into training. And I'm not her one-on-one coach, so I'm not creating like a personalized plan for her. But she's just sort of reached out to me, and as like a, you know, as mothers, right, Val, we have like the soft spot for people that have just had a brand new baby.
Mm-hmm.
And our priorities kind of have to shift a little bit. And one of the things I told her is, you know, maybe you're not able to do all of these things perfectly, but you can still do things to care for your health. Right. And that might look different on different days. And I think that's when we have to pull back, we then can add an additional P to this, and that is prioritize. So it doesn't have to be sort of an all or nothing mentality. It can be an all or something. And so maybe the answer is to push. Maybe for some of us, like, we are taking it a little too easy, and we do have more space to give more. Maybe we do have to pull back, but that doesn't mean you don't you don't have to go full potato, right? There are things that you can prioritize. You can still, there's still a lot of things that we still have control over. And so that's often what I'll tell like new moms or people that are kind of going through some injuries or illness. And I said, okay, what can you prioritize now? Right? What are the things you do actually have control over? When I was a new mom, my base level was pretty darn low. It was like, if I could get a shower today and step out into the sunshine, that was a win. And anything above that was an absolute bonus, right? Like when you have those newborns and they are so unpredictable. As I've gotten older, I have a little bit more control over things. But even so, like if I get sick or if life is just blowing up, there are still things I can do. I can still be mindful of my nutrition. I can still do my best to try to get the sleep that I can, you know? I mean, it just kind of all depends on your circumstances, but there are always something that you can do to tend to your health. You don't have to throw it all in the garbage. It's definitely will make you feel worse if you throw it all away and say, well, screw it. I have a client that always like, she says she goes into F it mode. Just like, and that was her progress was last week. It was in her check-in that I loved that she said, I was tempted to go into F it mode. And instead I decided that I was going to meal plan for the next week. And I was going to make myself something that I knew was going to be better for me for dinner. And then those little acts helped to propel her into doing more than what she thought she could do.
Yes. It's those little steps, those little deposits that you put in each day. And especially when you don't want to do it, you just check those little boxes. You give yourself your non-negotiables. And you, as you continue to do it, even on the days when it's super hard, it gives you the confidence to keep going forward. And it helps to improve your mindset overall. And then you look back and you're like, oh my goodness, here it's been 3-4 months later. And now this is just becoming like much, it's easier to do. I don't have to think about it as much. I'm still applying the effort. I think that's really important. Like it's not something where we just don't have to think about it, but it builds up that resilience going forward.
Yeah, I think it is all about, I think when we think about being successful, we have to redefine it as we're consistently making efforts towards our goals or towards our health in this circumstance. It doesn't have to be perfect for there to be progress. You know, sometimes it is pushing, sometimes it's pulling back and reprioritizing. But the magic really happens in that consistent effort over time. And I think that's the bottom line. And the progress really can happen as you learn how to make those choices for yourself. You know, what's going to be really best for your body and your mind in each of these circumstances. And it does become easier to make those choices the more that you make them with some integrity, right?
Yes. You have here the slashing tires analogy in the podcast notes. And it's interesting you have that because I had a client bring up that analogy with her check-in on Sunday. And she was saying to me, you know, I've been working on improving my mindset around nutrition. And the other day I went over my macros and then I thought, oh, well, screw it. And she said, and as I was eating more candy, I was eating a bunch of candy, I thought to myself, of the slashing the tires. It's like, well, I've only slashed one tire, but if I go out of my way and keep going down this path, I'm going to slash all my tires and it's going to be so much harder. It's going to cost a lot more energy to get back to where I need to. So she caught herself and was like, okay, you know, I'm done here. This is okay. Tomorrow's a new day. And didn't like let that guilt of not following through on her goals allow her to just go, slash all the tires.
Right. Yeah. I know we put ourselves in a much worse circumstances when we self-sabotage. I mean, it's essentially what it is self-sabotaging and slashing all the rest of the tires when really we could have just fixed the one tire and gotten back on the road.
Yeah. And so learning when to push or when to pull, ultimately it's learning to do what we can to make progress toward what the goals that we're working on and still honor ourselves. And I think that it's something that we can continue to refine over over the years. And there's going to be seasons, like Heather mentioned, with, you know, the new mothers and figuring out what they can do during that time. And then as the seasons change and your kids grow up or, you know, whatever it might be, you can still figure out that balance of pushing versus pulling and have that align with your overall goals.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. One of the things, and I wasn't sure if I should bring this up, but one of the places I thought maybe it would be a good place to close up is this poll that I asked about how you feel when life happens and you miss a workout or miss a training session. And I said, do you feel guilty? And 30% said yes, 17% said no, and the rest of you said sometimes, which says to me that this decision is a hard one to feel solid about. And I just hope that some of the things we talked about can help you make more solid choices for yourself, that you can feel more peace when you're making these choices, that you don't have to stay in that place of sometimes I feel guilty, that you can just say, no, I don't feel guilty. I'm making a choice I feel good about. It's a choice I've made with integrity. I know myself so well that I can make this choice and I can move on with my life and feel good about it.
All right. That's all for this episode of Training Age. If you'd like to learn more about the podcast, find us at trainingage.com or on Instagram at trainingage. If you're interested in working with either Heather or myself, you can find links to our coaching services there as well.
Thanks for listening.